A lot of problems yesterday in the Fulton County election. The Georgia primaries were yesterday. Richard Barron is in charge of the Fulton County elections. He released a statement. He said in part, "By now you know that this election was one unlike any other that we had have experienced. The COVID-19 pandemic forced us to make more aggressive push for absentee voting, as it also created unique staffing and logistical challenges." He goes on to say the majority of our precincts had minimal issues throughout the day. All that being said, this is a learning experience for our team, and we have some takeaways from today's event. We have identified several areas for improvement to help us be better prepared for the general election in November. Here's the problem with that, Richard Barron. You don't have to worry about November. You actually have to be concerned about August. August is your next election day. August is the runoff. August is just two months away. You're talking about November. You're not ready for August. I had Mr. Barron on the program, and this is part of that discussion.
We are talking about reducing the number of early voting applications. Fulton County's always been at the, you know, we lead the state with the number of locations during early voting every election. But under the circumstances, we are going to limit the number of locations that we will be opening. The Board of Registration and Elections will meet on Thursday, April 23rd, to decide the final number of locations. I'll be making recommendations to them, and they will make a choice between those recommendations, and then we will set those early voting locations.
Yeah, I definitely understand the logic. I would encourage everyone involved in that decision-making process to consider that you may actually have a hyper turnout in this primary due to the political climate. And if you have a hyper turnout, you will exacerbate the problem on election day if you close down early voting sites prior to. That's just a suggestion. I understand that a lot of people...
Yeah, that was my suggestion. I was right. He was wrong. To talk about it is Chairman of Fulton County Commission, Mr. Rob Pitts. Chairman Pitts, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Okay, you got a lot of explaining to do for your guy, Mr. Barron.
Well, let me start at the beginning here. Right now, I came out of a debriefing now to be able to talk with you about what happened.
Thank you.
I personally visited 25 different precincts yesterday because I wanted to see and hear firsthand from the voters and see the lines. You know, we don't hear about the good stuff that happened. It's the bad stuff that happened, and I'm not making any excuses for the long lines. But a couple of things to put in perspective: anytime an entity that has Fulton attached to it, the blame will come to me as chairman and the Board of Commissioners. When in this case, it is the Board of Registration and Elections that they run the elections. They hire they are Mr. Barron's boss, not the Board of Commissioners. They hire him, they control him, and they are responsible. But that being said, I and my colleagues, we feel a responsibility to make sure that this process works as smoothly as possible. So that's where I start. So if you go back to the beginning, the first primary date was, I believe, was March. Then it changed to May. Then we're in June. So all this time, things were happening behind the scenes. Then here comes the virus. Then the protests. And then the absentee ballots, supposed to be mailed by the Secretary of State, who is not blameless in this, by the way. Now, people
love, I agree. You know, I think there's blame to go around. I don't see how the protest impacted the election day. I don't see that connection.
I think the protests fueled the turnout, which is good. You have people, young people in particular.
Well, that's not a problem. That's a positive.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I'm just saying it increased the numbers, which is a good thing. I was glad to see the number of young people that I saw voting and very passionate about voting, which I think was great for the county, the state, and the country.
It was a remarkable thing. And, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to let you get back to your point. I know I wasn't the only one who said to Mr. Barron, I may be the only one who said it publicly on a media platform in front of the world, but I said to Mr. Barron that you may get a hyper, which is an elevated turnout on Election Day because of the political climate. He disagreed ultimately with my assessment. My assessment was correct. His assessment was incorrect.
You were correct and he was incorrect in that.
Yes.
I agree with you. Yeah, I totally agree with you, 100%. So what I want to do is to make sure as a result of this debriefing, and it's easy to Monday morning quarterback, as you well know. Well, the quarterback should have not have thrown a pass. They should have, you know, handed the ball off in a running play. That's easy when you're sitting in your living room. But when you're in the heat of battle, you got to make decisions. So what I'm trying to do now is put together and hear from the public, other elected officials, state, local, et cetera, what went wrong and what corrective action can we take? Because the next election, the next test for us is the runoff election.
That's right.
Several really high-profile runoffs will take place in July, and all of the precincts will be open on that day. And prior to that, I think I'm correct on this, there will be early voting even for the runoffs.
Right, so correct.
There are a lot of lessons that we need to learn. Now, the equipment, there are things, for example, I don't like this new equipment personally. Using the equipment, we got to deal with the absentee ballots. And then the other thing that really happened with the equipment and the polling locations, there were locations, this is unbelievable, the polling locations that we have used through the years who at the last minute, because of the virus, said, nope, you cannot come into our facility. We don't want voters coming into our facility who may have the virus and therefore, you know, leave it here and our regular users contact us. So that was a huge problem for us. At the last minute, we had to scramble around to find new polling places. And therefore, that was a huge problem for us, which meant that, I'll give you one example, at Park Tavern, we went, I think there were three or four huge precincts that were reassigned to Park Tavern. They would go to their normal polling place, and we had a sign on them, well, you can't vote here today, you got to go to Park Tavern. That didn't sit well with a lot of people. Then when they got to the new location, we'd not had a time to test the power that these machines need. So when you plug in the machines, they don't have adequate power. So, and that caused some of the delay at the beginning. We got it worked out later on in the day, but that was a huge problem. The other problem is with actual poll workers. I'm told that 6 of 7 poll workers who normally work for us, at the last minute said, I'm not working. I am not taking a chance on catching that virus. So then we had to scramble around to find poll workers to work. The other thing about poll workers using technology now, typically they are retired county employees or other employees, and which is fine. They've done a good job through the years. But with technology, some are not as familiar, not as comfortable using the technology as they should be. So what happened was we brought in and had to scramble around to recruit a lot of, you have to be 18 years of age, and be a resident of Fulton County to work at the polls. But we scrambled around and found a lot of young people. They are very comfortable with technology and very excited about the experience. And we also raised the pay, quite frankly, from whatever it was to $250 a day. And that was very attractive for them. So that's something we're going to be looking at for the runoff, and especially in November, trying to contract and employ and bring on for that day probably college-age students who are very comfortable with technology and can use that $250. So it was a learning process for us. There are about 10 or 12 things that we're going to be looking at to review to make sure that we minimize what happened yesterday in, for the runoff and, more importantly, in November. But in November, I really anticipate probably a much – haven't seen the numbers yet. I mean, haven't even seen the results of the races yet. I've been up all night. But I'm personally thinking that we're going to have a huge turnout, a much larger turnout in November. So we're really going to have bring our A game.
You got to.
That's sort of a recap from my point of view.
I definitely understand that recap. Let me mention some things that I actually put in writing a couple of months ago.
I'd love to have whatever you put in writing. I'd like to have it, too.
I will absolutely forward it to you today. One, I put this in writing because it helps protect the county. Right now, the only people that won yesterday are lawyers, because obviously the county is going to be sued. There's going to be lawsuits about this precinct, this procedure, this poll worker not being trained, whatever. So you know you're getting that. That's coming probably this week. Some of those will be filed this week. But this is what I put in writing about what could be done at the county level to transform this this dynamic during a pandemic and the hyper turnout. I saw that people would probably try to withdraw at the last minute from being a polling location. And so I recommended that everyone who says yes, that they would have to sign a legally binding contract for that polling location that's enforceable. A significant increase in pay for poll workers. You all already did that as an adjustment, but I also had the pay increase in writing for poll workers just to make sure people did not flake out at the last minute. Backup poll workers as well, hiring backup poll workers, paying them a stipend just to be on standby in case somebody gets out at the very last minute. You have a backup poll worker. You've given them a stipend just to keep them at bay in case the emergency took place, and also create partnerships with political science departments at various colleges throughout our local area, because as long as they reside and they vote in Fulton County, that was the prerequisite for them to be a poll worker, and obviously they're 18. I think you guys should have had more partnerships with those institutions, specifically the political science department. So those were my recommendations.
I like everything you said.
I'm going to send them to you, Mr. Chairman. And my last question, man, who is in charge of firing Richard Barron? Who would be the agency to do that?
The executive director, I'm not sure if that's his exact title. He is hired by the Board of Registration and Elections and can be terminated by the Board of Registration and Elections. Let me explain the makeup of that board right quick, too.
Okay.
It's a five-member board. Two members are appointed by the Democratic Party of Fulton County. Two members are appointed by the Republican Party of Fulton County. But the Board of Commissioners, me and my colleagues, we appoint the chair of that board. So it's a five-member board, and they run elections. They hire their executive director, and he reports to them and not to the board.
Got it.
Not to the Board of Commissioners.
Got it. So I'm going to call them after my show.
Yeah, five-member board, two appointed by the Democratic Party of Fulton County, two appointed by the Republican Party of Fulton County, and the chair, though, is appointed by the Board of Commissioners of Fulton County.
I know your heart, Mr. Chairman, and I know you had to be hella frustrated yesterday, and that's why you do the things that you do. You go and you visit the locations. You've always been that kind of leader in this county, and I know you're getting a lot of backlash because of what happened. In a very real sense, you're not in charge of the Board of Registration or Elections in that sense. You do not directly manage that process. And I understand the distinction, but ultimately you are the leader of the county. Your influence still reigns
absolutely
supreme.
Correct.
Yes.
Absolutely correct.
Yes.
Yeah, let me add one other thing.
Yes, sir.
In spite of those long lines, I am just really, I was astounded by the patience of the folk who came out to vote I mean, they people were hell bent. Excuse yes. my French.
That's true.
On voting, and they understood. I said, "We got problems here. I'm here, and I said, appreciate you being here, Mr. Chairman.
Yep.
But we got problems, and you know, but they were patient. They said, I don't care how long it takes. I'm going to stay here. I said, I got it, and I really appreciate that. So, but they were really, most people were very courteous, even
yep.
though they were obviously tired of standing.
Yeah.
By the way, on Friday, last Friday, the last day of early voting, when I was out, we visited all of those sites as well and saw that probably at some places it was 80, 85 degrees. I mean, it was really hot. People were standing. So we contracted with a tent company to bring tents so that people could, you know, stand under the tents. And we ordered, I think, 100-plus chairs to be put outside.
Good.
So that people would have a place to sit while they were waiting, 6 feet apart, though. And I think those things, and we provided snacks, you know, what do you call those bars, granola bars, mm-hmm. and fruit and water to help people feel a little more comfortable. I said, look, we're trying. I know we got problems. It's not an excuse, but I'm on it.
That's good stuff. And obviously, I hope that practice remains in play for the, especially for the November election, because I think we will still be under the CDC mandate. So lines will be long. I appreciate you, Mr. Chairman,
time. Don't forget now, we got the runoff in July.
Yep.
So keep the pressure on us.
Yeah, you got the runoff coming up. Thank you, man.
Yes, sir. Okay, thank you.
Okay. You're getting real with the realest man on radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.